Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
Well, what we do right before we start the message every single week is we like to give a big welcome to all of those that are in digital world, our online audience. Let's welcome our online audience today. We love and are so thankful for you. Well, today we are going to wrap up our series called Margin. Margin, making room for breakthrough. And so many of us in our lives, we're struggling to be who God wants us to be, not because of a lack of calling, not because we don't know what God is calling us to, but really because of a lack of margin in our lives. And so today I want to teach on a type of margin that you probably never considered before, and that is moral margin. Everybody say moral margin. Now, I've started every message in this series by asking a question. I'm going to start by asking a question, but I don't want you to answer it right away. And so here's the question. How many of you know someone whose life has been hurt, damaged, or even ruined because of sexual sin? For example, maybe you know someone whose addiction to pornography has taken over them, or perhaps you know someone who had sex before marriage, got pregnant, and then in a panic, aborted the child, and now they live with immense guilt over their decision. Or because they got pregnant outside of marriage, they rushed into a marriage that really should have never happened, only to have three or four really difficult years, and the relationship crumbled. Maybe you know somebody who acquired a sexually transmitted disease after a one-night stand. Maybe you know someone who was promiscuous before getting married, and because of all of that baggage, their marriage suffered. Maybe you're sitting here this morning and you know someone who's had an affair. All of these situations, every one of these examples that I've given, occur because of sexual sin. So let me ask the question, how many of you know someone whose life has been hurt, damaged, or even ruined because of sexual sin? Come on, put your hands up high. Raise them high. All right, look around. Almost every hand is raised in this room. And this is so interesting to me because no one on their wedding night gets married and says, my goal is to have an affair 5 years into our marriage. No one ever says, you know what, I plan on getting addicted to pornography to the point that I am consumed and I begin to act out and destroy my life. No one ever says, my New Year's resolution is to fool around with a complete stranger and contract herpes or HIV. I don't know of anyone who says, I want to have an inappropriate sexual relationship on the job and therefore lose my job, lose my marriage, and lose my family. But even though no one has ever listed any of these things as a goal in their life, I want you to understand they happen every single day. In the years that I pastored, the most common thing that I hear people say on the other side of sexual indiscretion is, I never thought it would get to this place. I never thought that it would cost me so much. I never thought that this would happen to me. And the one common thing that all people who fail in this area share is that at some point, probably multiple points in their life, they lacked what I would refer to this morning as moral margin. And so moral margin, if you're following along with us, we've got some sermon notes. Encourage you to take some notes. We also have it available digitally on our app if you want to follow along there. But moral margin, the first fill in the blank, moral margin is putting distance between you and temptation. It's putting distance, it's putting a buffer, it's putting something in between you and temptation. I want to start by looking at the book of James, chapter 1, starting in verse 13. It says this, and remember when you are being tempted. Just let me pause right there. You will be tempted in your life. All right, so remember when you're being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. Because God is never tempted to do wrong. Watch this, and he never tempts anyone else. Verse 14, watch this. Temptation comes from where? It comes from our own desires. All right, you remember a couple of weeks ago we talked about the fact that all of us, every single one of us in this room, me included, we are out of alignment by our own nature. We are out of alignment with God. We are born sinners, Scripture tells us. And so this temptation, it comes from our own desires, watch this, which entice us and they drag us away. And these desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, watch this, it gives birth to death. And so the word translated as enticed in this passage comes from the Greek word delahadzo, and it means to entrap, it means to allure, it means to hook. This word is derived from a fishing term, is actually where this word originates, that refers to catching someone with a shiny piece of bait, with a fancy Chloe lure or something. It's important this morning that we understand that the devil, he's trying to hook us into something that causes sin to be born. And why does he do this? Because he understands, because sin, when it becomes fully grown, it leads to only one place, and that is to death. It leads to pain, and it leads to misery. And so I remember in my late teens, as I started dating, I had, I'm just going to be honest with you, the same passions, desires, and hormones flowing through my body as any other teenager did. And as a believer, I would often wonder, and I would battle within myself in this area of sexuality, how far is too far? In other words, if there's a line, then where does that line actually start? Because even though I didn't want to go too far, let me just be honest, I wanted to get as close to it as I possibly could. Come on, some of you need to say amen. You're just like, oh. But in reality, we'd never use the same type of reasoning in any other area of our life. Well, we'd never think, how close can I get to something that will hurt me without actually getting hurt? No reasonable person would put two bullets into a revolver, spin it, and aim it at their head, saying, how many times can I still pull the trigger and be okay? And while there are some crazy people on TV, I don't know of anyone in this room who would voluntarily put their head in the mouth of an alligator. No person with any brains in their head would say, how many times do you think I can put my head in here before he chomps down and bites it off? A sane person would never approach a poisonous snake and say, I wonder how close I can get to this snake before it strikes out at me, bites me, and kills me. Nobody does those things, yet for some reason, when it comes to the area of sexual temptation, we'll ask ourselves over and over again, how close can I get to the edge before I fall off or get bitten? And I want you to listen to what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 about this issue. It says, run from sexual sin. It doesn't say flirt with it. It doesn't say find the line and then get as close as you possibly can to it. It literally says run. And so the Greek word that's translated as run in this verse is the word eugo. And that word eugo means to shun. It means to escape. It means to distance oneself. And so we are to flee sexual immorality. We need to put some distance, some margin between us and the temptation. And I want you to recognize, you can read through the entire Bible. There is no other sin in this entire book that we are told to be run, that we are told to run from. So we shouldn't be asking ourselves, how close to the edge can I get and still be okay? Instead, we should put significant margin and distance between ourselves and sexual temptation. And the reason that God said to run from this sin as opposed to others is because this particular area, this sin, is one of the most dangerous, it's one of the most devastating areas that we can fall in. Going on in verse 18, it tells us no other sin, so this sexual immorality, this sexual sin, no other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. Watch this. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. And so while all sin separates us from God, we need to understand that all sins are not the same. And so I want you to consider the practical consequences of some of the sins that we commit. They all don't cost us the same way. For example, if you tell a small lie, while it's still wrong, it may end up not costing you anything. If you break the laws of this land and you get ticketed for speeding, it's going to cost you a little money for the ticket, and your insurance premiums may increase, but not much else is going to happen. If you're a gossip or a known habitual liar, you're going to lose close friends and you're going to struggle to have close relationships. However, if you sin sexually, the consequences are so much greater. You can literally lose your job. You can lose your marriage. You can lose even your relationship with your children. Sexual sins, it costs you your self-esteem, your reputation. It could even cost you your life through a sexually transmitted disease. You can literally pay the price for the rest of your life for one bad sexual decision. And so all of the other sins, they're outside of the body, but whoever sins sexually, Scripture tells us, sins against his own body. Going on in verse 19, it says, don't you realize? So he's talking about this sexual area and sexual immorality, and then the apostle goes on to tell us, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. And so in the past, you may have bought into, you know, what is the cultural norm and thought, you know what, it's my body and I can do with it whatever and whenever I want to do it. Well, listen, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, this passage tells us otherwise. Our bodies are actually a house. We are a dwelling place. We are a temple for the Holy Spirit. And so this is such an important message because our society, it bombards us with all sorts of temptation to enter into sexual immorality. It's so unrelenting. In fact, every time you can't even hardly have a series of commercials on and there's something that's pushing a sexual agenda. Every time every place we look, billboards, just every place that we turn, and it's so unrelenting that many of us have gotten to the place where we think that sexual sin isn't even wrong, that we bought into the lie it's okay because everybody else is doing it. You know, we'll ask ourselves, well, why would I want margin between me and sex? Isn't the goal of life to have fun and feel good? Listen, this sin is so different. It sticks with you. It's painful. It's emotional, and it's deeply spiritual. The Apostle Paul, he wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, he says, but among you there must not even be a hint. Everybody say a hint. A hint of sexual immorality. And I'm telling you that the world in which we live challenges this godly principle like crazy. And I'm preaching this message because I don't want us to fall prey. God is telling us, he's challenging us this morning to let there not even be a hint of sexual immorality in our lives. This Greek word translated as sexual immorality is the word porneia, which is the same root word where we get the word pornography from. And this word literally means anything that causes arousal outside of a biblically defined marriage. And so God is telling us, listen, there shouldn't be a hint of anything that causes that to happen in our lives. So for example, if someone chooses to dress in a sexually seductive way, listen, do you think in God's economy that would be considered a hint of sexual immorality? You know, when I was growing up, we had an expression, and I don't know if you guys ever use this. I feel embarrassed to even say this because some of you will laugh, but we had this expression about having sex, and we'd call it, well, they went all the way, going all the way. And so what people would do is we would decide if we're dating someone, we're not going to go all the way, but we'll do everything else. Kind of remember Bill Clinton. We'll just leave it right there, but yeah, you know what I mean. And so in God's eyes, do you think that making a choice to not go all the way would be a hint of sexual immorality? Imagine buying a Cosmo magazine because of an article advertised on the cover that says 5 ways to drive your boyfriend wild in bed. Do you think to God that would be a hint of sexual immorality? Here's the problem. In our world, all of this behavior is considered normal. But in reality, there's another side of this issue that people will never talk about. They won't put commercials on TV about it. There's this reaping of a bitter fruit from the unholy sexual norms of our society. There's pain, there's regret, there's guilt, there's shame, there's insecurity, there's disease, there's fear, there's abortion, there's divorce. So many people, we fail in this area of sexual sin. Why? Because they put the line in the wrong place. That they fail to recognize that what led them to making the ultimate mistake was countless small decisions that they didn't give a second thought to. So in other words, here's the sin. I'll pull this out here. All right? That's a big snake here. This is the sin We'll just put this represents that. Is that far enough away, Tiffany? She said, make sure you put that on the other side. All right. There's the poisonous snake. But listen, we don't just end up right next to a poisonous snake one day. Right? Instead, we take many little steps that get us to that place. People are crossing lines every day, and they're moving a little bit closer and a little bit closer and a little bit closer towards destruction, and they never even recognize that it's happening in their lives. And this is what I do know. What is normal in our society in this area of sexuality is not working. According to one study, listen to this. This blew my mind as I looked this up this week. Up to 65% of men and 55% of women, they will commit adultery by the time they turn 40 years old. Shocking. According to a study published by the National Institutes of Health, 88% of couples cited infidelity as the primary reason for their divorce. Can I tell you that the world's approach to sexuality is not working, and it's leaving a path of destruction every single place that you look? Because we've eliminated moral margin, we cross line after line of things that are destructive, that are leading us to a pathway to ruin that we don't even recognize it's happening. And so what I want to do is I want to get super practical this morning. This is how this plays out every day in our lives. In our minds, we'll ask ourselves, hey, is it really wrong to build a relationship with a coworker just because we enjoy talking to them? I mean, really, that's not wrong. I mean, adultery it's way over there. We're just talking. There's nothing wrong with just talking to someone. Or we'll ask, well, is it wrong to talk about my spouse or disclose intimate details about my marriage to someone of the opposite sex? And we'll say, well, you know what, I don't see why not. It's harmless. They don't really live in our world. And because I'm, and it's all right because I'm way over here. I'm nowhere close to having an affair. Is it really wrong to look forward to spending time in person or via video chat or via instant messenger with someone? I mean, there's nothing really wrong. I mean, that's so far over here. I mean, adultery's way over there. I would never do something like that. We're just friends. We'll ask ourselves on the job or at school, is it really wrong to flirt a bit with a coworker? You know, the little inside jokes, the little gifts, the little notes. Is it wrong to have an emotional connection with someone of the opposite sex who isn't your spouse? Yeah, I know I probably shouldn't do it, but come on, when you compare what I'm doing to the line of adultery, that's so far, it's way over there. It's not close. Is it wrong to start sharing my feelings? You know, I know that I shouldn't be attracted to you, but I am. And it can't really be wrong. How many of you heard someone say this? To be true to my heart. And the whole time, as we go through this, we're taking a step closer and a step closer and a step closer and a step closer to that destructive thing that we thought that we would never do, all because we lack moral margin. Moral margin, what is it? It's the distance we place between ourselves and temptation. And so for the next few minutes, I want to give you some ideas, some better places to draw the line. And while these are definitely not the norm in our society, I believe they will help us have better results than what is normal, because normal is not working. Here's the first one, the next blank in your outline. I encourage you, number one, dress for spiritual success. Dress for spiritual success. In other words, when you dress in such a way to bring glory to God and not be immodest. Listen, I want you men to hear me first. All right? We're responsible for controlling our thoughts. All right? That's nobody else's responsibility but your own. But listen, ladies, if you don't already know, let me give you a public service announcement. Guys are extremely visual. That's all right, you can laugh. It's true. So we should never dress in a manner that brings sexual attention to ourselves. Listen, I know that you've worked out hard to have a nice figure, or you paid a lot of money for it, whatever, we'll keep that another message, all right? But listen, Keep them hidden except for your husband, all right? We don't really need to see all of your assets. Dress for spiritual success, all right? I got to make you laugh. This is kind of heavy, all right? Number two, for those of you who aren't married, the second one is great. All of those that are unmarried in the house. Number two, this is for you. Keep 4 feet on the floor. Those of you that are musicians, that's not the kick drum doing four on the floor. That's something different, all right? Keep 4 feet on the floor. It's amazing what you can avoid when you make the choice to keep 4 feet on the floor. Like, I know how it works. You know, I was a teenager once. You know, don't get on the bed to study the Bible together, all right? If you're watching a movie, pledge to keep 4 feet on the floor. Listen, because if you don't keep 4 feet on the floor, let me tell you, I've lived a long time. I've encountered this, right? What happens is the guy is sitting there and this amazing, beautiful girl takes her nice, smooth-shaved legs and she wraps them around his strong, hairy legs. Some of you are like, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. But for some reason, when hairy legs meet shaved legs, clothes just seem to start flying, right? Next thing you know, someone's like, pants on the ground. All right. Looking like a fool with your pants on the ground. Hey, we got to laugh in church, all right? Listen, a great place to draw the line is keep 4 feet on the floor. Here's the next one, number three. Okay, now I got to try to pull this back together. No sleepovers or playing house. This is normal in our culture, right? Well, why don't we just move in together? It would just be so more efficient, right? You know, you're dating someone, even if you have your own places, and it gets late. Well, why don't you just stay here? You can use my toothbrush. I mean, how gross is that, right? Well, you can wear my T-shirt. You know, we'll just cuddle, right? Yeah, right. You know, before long, you're giving the benefits that God intended for marriage, without requiring the sacrifice and the commitment and the responsibility that goes along with us. And then some of you come in and you're broken and you wonder, well, why do I always end up with the wrong kind of people? Well, stop acting like the wrong kind of people. Amen. Stop playing house and giving it away for free. Here's another one, number four. Avoid dangerous places. Avoid dangerous places. For each of us, this means something completely different. Only you know what and where that place is. For some of us, it's going to be the bar or the restaurant after work with coworkers. Others, it could be online chat rooms or private messaging on social media. Others, it's the gym. Visually, you just can't handle it. And if that's the case, go buy P90X. I promise you, it'll kick your rear end, all right? Those of you that have done it, buy Buns of Steel if that's what you're looking for, but work out at home, right? Okay? If any place is dangerous to you, listen, hear me. Avoid it at all costs. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his entire soul? And so you may say, well, Pastor, that's extreme. Well, yes, it is, but we must take extreme steps if we want results that are better than the broken down norms in our worlds. Another great place to draw the line, number five, let me start wading in it deep here right now. Number five, monitor internet activity. Monitor internet activity. When I was growing up, it wasn't very easy to get your hands on pornographic materials, but in today's world, on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer, you can instantly access more than any normal person would ever want to see. And so for me, I've made the choice that every device that I have that's connected to the internet has Covenant Eyes, which is an accountability software installed in it. And so literally every website that I visit is tracked. And anytime that I go to a site that is even remotely questionable, it flags it and a report is sent to both of my accountability partners. Why do I do that? I do that because I want to have moral margin in my life. I want to protect myself in the event that a moment of weakness arises. Listen, we need to guard ourselves and our children because there is an enemy who's out there and he's throwing this out there with a hook and a line and a sinker, and he would love nothing more than to simply take us out. If you're married in the room, let me help your marriage today. Passwords should be shared and access should be granted to all of each other's social media accounts. If you can't, there's a reason why you can't. Listen, I'm telling us, we need to have moral margin in our lives. And listen, it's not because God wants something from us. God has something great for us. And listen, can I tell you, spouses, married spouses in this room, there's amazing freedom and there's amazing clarity when you put steps into place in your life to have moral margin. I never want any of you to come to me crying one day saying, Pastor, I never thought this would happen to me. Pastor, would you help me? Here's another one, number six. Avoid time alone with the wrong people. Avoid time alone with the wrong people. Listen, don't put yourself into any situation that could easily turn intimate. So some of the things that I've done, once again, these are things that you know, there's no rules about this is in the Bible, but I want moral margin. I won't ride alone in a car with another woman besides my wife or my mother. I'll never be in the church office alone with another woman. If I have to meet with a lady, Shiloh always attends with me. And if she isn't able to be there for some reason, then I'm going to have someone else that's there. Listen, I require our church staff, Sam will tell you, to never be alone with someone of the opposite sex who is not their spouse. You may say, well, that's ridiculous, Andrew. You can't get anything. No. You know, there's nothing wrong with just having a meeting. Listen, I'm challenging us because Satan is trying to bring us down. He's trying to destroy your marriage. He's trying to destroy your family. And I'm challenging us to build up some moral margin to protect us from getting to that place that we all said, hey, I'll never go there. Amen. Here's the last one, number 7. Number 7, guard your eyes, guard your mind, guard your heart. Guard your eyes, your mind, and your heart. What does that mean? Be careful what you read. Be careful what you look at. Be careful at what you watch. Think about your mind. I'm challenging you here in this room. What are you fantasizing about? I'm going to break it down and be real. What are you fantasizing about? What are the memories that you go back to over and over and over and over again? Listen, the Bible says that we need to take those wicked thoughts, that we need to make them captive and make them obedient to Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I know this was pretty direct, but I'm trying to encourage you to run from, to flee from sexual immorality. Listen, it's a warning, and if we're not careful, this will destroy your life. Young person, hear me. God created us with the passions that we have, and there's nothing wrong with those passions, but save it for the person that God has brought you together to be with one day. I've never met a single person who said my problems all started when I created moral margin. But I know tons of people who never did this, who never put margin in this area and said, I never thought it would happen to me, as their eyes are just flooded with tears and they're bloodshot because they've been crying so long and kids are upset and broken. And I never thought this would happen to me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't want anyone looking around. Nobody looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. But if you're in this room this morning, and as I taught this, the Holy Spirit has just begun to kind of nudge you in some places that you need to have some moral margin that you currently don't have it right now. If that's you right now, just lift your hand. No one looking around. No one looking around at all. But if that's you, lift your hands right now all across this place. Come on, be honest. God's trying to protect you this morning. Thank you for your honesty. Put your hands down. We're gonna pray together in just a moment. There are others in this room who would say, you know what, when I look at the totality of my life, I can't help but think that I've been way too bad for God. How could God ever love someone like me? Maybe you're sitting here this morning, and listen, if you failed in this area, the reason for me preaching this isn't so that you would walk out of here feeling guilty. But maybe you've said, because of all the mistakes that I made, how could God ever love someone like me? Here's what I want you to understand this morning. Our God, He is crazy about you. He loves you so much that you're the one that He came for. You may say, well, I'm so messed up. My life's so dark. My life is so, I'm so lost. Listen, you are exactly why Jesus came. And there are those of you here who are aware of your sin. You are aware that it is separating, your sin is separating you from God. You're aware that you are not everything that God would not want you, or that God would want you to be. And so can I tell you this morning, if you feel that way, that's a great first step, because if we don't first acknowledge our sinfulness, we will never see the need for a Savior. And so if you're here today and you feel like, hey, I need help, I need healing, I need forgiveness, I need to be transformed. Listen, all you have to do is call on the name of Jesus. All you have to do is say, I'm sorry. All you have to do is ask Jesus to forgive you and repent of your sins. And when you do, God's word promises that our sins will be forgiven and that we will be made brand new. You'll be transformed and you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. It'll be as if you've never sinned in God's eyes, and you will become a new creation. So there are those of you, you're here for this moment. God brought you here today. Today is the day of your salvation. With every head bowed, eye closed, no one looking around, without hesitation, if that's you, why don't you lift your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you. 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 This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, for the hands that just went up just now, Lord God, I pray, Jesus, Lord God, that you would turn our hearts to you. Right now, our lives are broken. Right now, our lives are a mess. Right now, we've made so many mistakes, and we just feel the guilt and the shame over what we've done. But Lord, right now, in this moment, we pause, we stop to say yes to you. We're going to repent, which simply means we're going to stop going our own way. We're going to stop following the world's way. And instead, we're going to move towards you. Thank you for coming to earth and paying the price that I deserved for my sin. Lord, we thank you for new life. Lord Jesus, today, there were many hands that went up to that first question, those that are battling with a lack of moral margin in some area of their life. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, that we would have the courage to deal with it. And Lord God, that we would understand, Lord Jesus, that whatever we keep in secret, in the earth, hidden, will continue to sprout roots and grow. Lord God, but in the light, Lord God, we can deal with our issues. So Lord God, I pray that you would give us confidence and boldness, Lord Jesus, to step forward. Some of us need to put accountability software on our devices. Some of us need to have a really hard conversation with our spouse. Some of us need to share some passwords. Some of us need to break some relationships off that don't belong in our life. And so, Lord Jesus, we do this not because you're mad at us for failing, Lord God, but we do this. We make the choice to do this because you have something better for our lives. And so maybe a marriage that's here that's teetering on the verge of divorce because of some indiscretion in this area, Lord Jesus, Lord, let us have a testimony of what you brought us through. And when it looked like we couldn't get through year 7, 8, or 9, that one day we're going to talk about year 25 and year 30 and year 35 and 40 and all that you brought us through and all that you've kept us from. And so, Lord Jesus, we make the choice to turn our eyes to you. We will flee from every hint of sexual immorality. And we will rise above the norms of this culture. And we will be set free. And we'll be holy. We are the temple. Come on, I want you to say that. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. Lord, root out anything in us that's not like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said.
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.